Welcome back to the Bitcoin Matrix, where critical thinkers meet. I'm your host, Cedric Jungelman. Before we dive in, if you're getting value from the Bitcoin Matrix, subscribe on Fountain App for $5 a month. That's the best way to support the show. Every episode, a full day early, completely ad-free. Or grab any episode ad-free for just $1 after early access. Firefish is non-custodial Bitcoin-backed loans. Your keys stay in multisig the whole time. Don't sell your Bitcoin. Live off it. Firefish.io, code matrix. Club Orange is the location-based social network built for the Bitcoin community. Find Bitcoiners, meetups, and merchants near you. If you've ever wanted to meet the people behind the orange-pilled accounts you follow, this app is your map. Download Club Orange today in the App Store or Google Play. Stampseed makes a titanium DIY kit that lets you hammer your seed words into solid metal. Fire-resistant, waterproof, crush-proof. Stampseed.com, code matrix for 15% off. These are companies I personally use and believe in. Please support them so they can keep supporting the Bitcoin Matrix podcast. Links and codes for all of them are in the show notes. Today's guest is James Caruso. He didn't go looking for Bitcoin. Bitcoin came looking for him, buried in a spreadsheet. He was combing search ad data for a metal stamping company when he noticed strangers were quietly buying their kits to back up something called a seed phrase. That one anomaly sent him down the rabbit hole. We get into the wildest ways people have hidden their backups, including one guy, a fake rock, and a pond, why paper is where Bitcoin goes to die, and how a former panic seller learned to hope for the dip. And now, let's enter the Bitcoin Matrix for episode 280 with James Caruso.
What is real? How do you define real?
You can't jump into cash. Cash is trash. What do? You get out.
James Caruso is the co-founder and vice president of Stampseed, a U.S.-made titanium kit that lets you hammer your Bitcoin seed phrase into solid metal letter by letter. Stampseed is a division of ImpressArt, the metal stamping company James and his team have run for over a decade, and the company that, almost by accident, became one of the most trusted backup tools in Bitcoin. James, welcome to the Bitcoin Matrix where critical thinkers meet. How are you?
I'm doing great, Cedric. Good to be here with you. And, thanks for that intro there. Appreciate it, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to get into it. It's a nice, warm, sunny day here in Florida. I think you're in Long Island, New York, my old neck of the woods.
On Long Island, right? It's on it.
Strong Island.
if you live on Long Island, it's on Long Island. If you're not, it's in. Well, you know that. It's sunny here too. You know, it's nice. Weather's good. Life is good, man.
Yeah, I love LI. Long Island.
Long Island, yeah.
One of my favorite places. But so you know, before Stampseed on Long Island, you and your team were running ImpressArt, a U.S. metal stamping company making kits for jewelers, leather workers, hobbyists. Walk me through the moment you realized something different was happening. What were people doing? What were they buying?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great intro to kind of kick off this convo because it's a fun little story. And so I was hired by ImpressArt actually in about 2017 as a digital marketing specialist, right? I didn't know much about digital marketing at the time, but to me, all my strengths align with it. It was just like the perfect position for what I went to school for. So it was kind of, something I just jumped into. A lot comes with digital marketing, right? Different aspects of it. But one of the, biggest areas I work was search advertising. So, when you guys go and Google something like, a Bitcoin hardware wallet and those ads pop up, they're not coming up by magic. It's coming up because it's a company actually bidding on the search term Bitcoin hardware wallet, whether it's the exact term or whether it's part of a phrase. You could actually pay X amount of cents or dollars to pay for your ads to show when those words are searched. So part of my job was, quietly popping on my headphones, listening to podcasts and going through spreadsheets of search terms, just looking for our gold, right? We're looking for words that we aren't bidding on yet, because if someone searches an entire sentence, there might be some words in there that we're not bidding on yet. So we want to pull those and then bid. So it was called combing the search terms. Real fun job, right? But a real good way to catch up on your pods, which was great. I love doing that. I wish I could still go back into comb search terms, but you know, we've gotten bigger since then, so someone else has to. So long story short, going through the search terms on Impressart products, which you are correct, it was basically like jewelry focused items, or we had a lot of goldsmiths or silversmiths who were marking up their material after melting it down. All this stuff has to get marked, and we get into custom stamping for people who recycle. They have to stamp recycled plastics, so, you know, things like that. And you know, people were searching previously metal stamps for jewelry making, or metal stamping hammer for metal stamping, you know, keepsakes and items. And I would say in about 2019, really, Bitcoin started being appended to the search terms that people were finding, which normally it would never register me, but the magic is you seeing a conversion tied to that keyword that's being searched, right? So anytime there's a conversion tied to a new word, that a light goes off, right? It's like, okay, what do we have to do to bring this word in and bid on it? What do we have to do to make our listings for the product more relevant to that word, right? Do you put that keyword into some of the text overlay on some of the images that are in the product carousel, just to make it more relevant to what someone's searching? Because someone searches something and that's what they see, it all makes sense, right? They're more likely to buy. But in this case, you know, you can't optimize at the listing level. You know, where, you know, we could certainly bid on Bitcoin. You know, people are looking for like Bitcoin metal stamps, for instance, right? Or metal stamping hammer for Bitcoin, or metal steel plates or steel seed plates. And we have products that are all relevant to populate with this, but nothing really meant for that because, you know, it was a new sort of industry, right? No one was making stuff like, there was a few companies, but you know, it's in the beginning, people were just piecemealing the stuff together, DIYing it with washers or hammers from the hardware store and things like that. So, you know, a lot of people searching it, we're like, okay, we have this one listing that's really for Impressart. We can't make this a Bitcoin listing because we're going to scare away all these, you know, people that are crafting or marking gold and silver. They're not going to know what Bitcoin is. We don't want like an everything sort of listing here. So rather than bidding on the search terms and then optimizing the existing listings, to make it Bitcoin friendly, I guess you could say, decided to just create something new. So I went to the bosses and took a lot of time to convince them, hey, this is something that could work. You know, I understand Bitcoin. I was enough to the point where I knew what the words meant. I didn't know what a seed plate was. I didn't even know what cold storage was at the time. I was like a crypto, you know, get rich quick trading guy, right? Like this is when Robinhood was out for a few years at this point, saving for an engagement ring, saving for a house, all this stuff. It was like, I need money now, right? And you know, I knew enough though that there's something here, right? You know, what, first of all, why are people metal stamping passwords into metal? Like this is something relevant to us. We have people metal stamping names and dates and quotes into things. So this is like almost like a customer, but it's really not a customer because they need harder metals. They're different people. The tools that we have look a little crafty and they're not really made to really stamp hard metal. It is kind of like the gist of it. So, after convincing ownership, hey, we need to make this a listing, was able on Amazon to piece together materials that we had throughout the warehouse that was just kind of, you know, not being used, to be honest with you, just pallets of items. Because before Impressart started, it was actually a tool company too that birthed Impressart. And the tool company had like older school metal stamps, things that more meant for like stamping seed plates, for, you know, for seed birds and whatnot. So we had a bunch of leftover inventory. Pallet by pallet of that inventory started getting sold down through this new Amazon listing of a you know, steel stamping kit that we made under a different name other than Stamp Seed. It was just like an initial test where we're like, hey, all right, James, we believe you. We think this could work. You know, whatever, you know, you're talking about with Bitcoin, metal plates and passwords, sure, go take a chance. I was pretty much, you know, owning Amazon at the time for the company. So great, I have inventory back here. Let's see what we have. Let's get some images made up, pop a listing together, and we were off and running. About 2 weeks went by and there was no sales. And I'm just like, oh my God, like bosses are going to like not believe in me. This isn't going to be a thing. I started orange pilling myself at the time because like, I'm not just going to put a listing together if I don't know what it is. I need to know what cold storage means. I need to know why people are stamping this into metal and steel. So like my orange pill journey started there, which is kind of like unique. I don't think many people start at like a, you know, here's a plate stamped with words. You know, what is this? How do I get this? I think people are more like, you know, this is kind of like the last phase of your probably orange pill journey. But I had to learn it because I'm not going to create bullet points to describe a product if I don't know what that is. That's, you know, that's not me, right? I couldn't do it. So understanding what all this was, becoming orange pilled, building out the listing, and then back to the point where there's no sales. And it's a little concerning because now I'm believing in this thing. I want it to work. I'm, you know, this is cool to work sort of in this space. Where do we go? About 2 weeks later, there's four sales. And I saw the first one on a Saturday. I remember messaging everyone. I'm like, gosh, we got our first sale. Like, it was this big deal. Like, looking back, it was just one sale. Not too crazy. And then shortly after that, there were like three more within, you know, the same weekend, which was really cool. So observed that and, you know, kept tweaking at the listing, made a tutorial video to, you know, describe how to do this. Because the truth is, I've been metal stamping for years prior to this. So, you know, I was a good source on a person to ask with that. Probably stamped more non-metal seed plates than seed plates, but I'm up there with the seed plates too. Anyway, that listing started selling, like I said before, and then we started going through pallets. And then we had to change the listing because now we had new products that we were using, right? We were just working down the pallet line of different metal stamp sets or different hammers that we had. Good enough to stamp into hard metals, but not great. Not like a solid put together brand that made any sense. So we started, you know, looking at what sales look like. And, you know, we had some questions. We're like, oh, what are our customers like? Who are they? Why are they buying five plates with a kit? Why are they buying, you know, three plates with a kit? What's the need for more than one? You know, we didn't understand that. And can you put certain, you know, there's crypto at the time, right? Could we put certain ones for crypto? Or there are different ones for Bitcoin? All these questions we had. But mainly, who is the customer? That was the most important part. Because just like building that listing, wanting to make sure that the listing made sense for the customer, we didn't just like, you know, we don't want to just slap something together like ImpressArt and expect people to figure it out. We want to optimize and make sense. We took it a step further. We're like, we need to know who the customer is. So I went to a crypto conference. I'd hate to say it. In the beginning, it was very inexpensive to go. It was very like low budget production, but I figured out a lot of stuff. I learned what multi-sig was. I learned why people were using more than one plate and why that was important, and just got a little bit of a better, I guess, feel and take on, I guess, like the industry sort of as a whole. Although obviously that was crypto, right? And then we learned a lot at that conference, enough to take it to the next point. You have to get face to face with people at the end of the day. I wasn't a Bitcoin maxi even at the time. I was still kind of learning at that point. You know, this was this had to have been 2019. It was before the pandemic. So yeah, at some point around then. So took back the learnings from that. Spent a little more time selling those listings on Amazon, and then decided that this is big enough to be its own brand, basically. And that's where Stampseed comes from. So Stampseed gave us the opportunity to look at the tools that we have now are good enough, but how can we make, and we weren't stamping in titanium at the time. We were doing aluminum, which was not great, and then steel too. And then we started a little bit with titanium towards the end of the initial launch pre-Stampseed. Stampseed was just full on titanium, which meant we need to make sure everything is bigger, faster, stronger. And also, with ImpressArt, people have metal stamped before, right? They've done this. We don't have to teach them. With Stampseed, you are possibly teaching people who have never used a hammer before. And that crypto conference I went to, that one that I was cringing on earlier, someone actually told me, he's like, dude, I've never stamped a hammer before. I am a computer guy. Like, I have no idea what this is. And that was crazy to me because, you know, my dad taught me how to use a hammer when I was, you know, a young kid, basically. But there are people out there that didn't. Not everyone's the same. And I understood that. So we had to create this kit to pretty much make it possible to stamp with titanium, easy for anyone to do it the first time if they've never done it before. Essentially make it dummy proof. And there's a lot of aspects of the tools that we have, whether it's the extra weight that we put into the hammer or the marking on the side of the stamps to show you what the letters are. All these little things are things that we add in for the first time user. So we just want to optimize constantly and protect, no matter what stage we are at the product. It's, you know, putting a customer first, optimizing it, making it as easy as possible. So Stampseed became a thing. We created all these new tools and this whole new kit as a thing. It's a patented product, which is really cool. My name gets to be on the patent as one of the inventors, which to me was just like awesome. I wouldn't expect something like that. Just from going through search terms, right? Combing through search terms before I even knew what Bitcoin was led me to the point where we started going to Bitcoin conferences. I started meeting with Bitcoin podcasters, making friends with a lot of Bitcoiners. You know, awesome culture and community. Like it really like aligned with how I felt pre-Bitcoin. You know, I was pretty much a red pill guy to begin with that. And now there's this whole other community behind it and this monetary system that just kind of lifts this whole entire thought and culture up, and it gives it something solid to stand on. Like we have a voice now. And it, you know, it's amazing how far it took me. So it's, you know, I started orange pilling myself at Steel Seed Plates. And we ended up with Stamp Seed, and, you know, it's been great traveling the world, traveling the country. It's a really cool opportunity. And that's why I was kind of scared when we first launched and we didn't get that first sale, and we got that first sale. I was like, oh my God, it's working. This is so cool. Cause I was already books in at that point and podcasts in at that point. And, you know, learning about, you know, all these different aspects of Bitcoin, but also, you know, getting embraced and being part of this cool culture that, hey, if I can make this my job, that'd be amazing. And what's even cooler is like we turned this company, ImpressArt, into sort of a Bitcoin company. And I like to see that happen more with other companies and entities. It's, you know, the orange in, I don't want to say infection, but like the orange is bleeding into everything. So even ImpressArt.
Wow. That's a wild story. You definitely used your pattern and trend recognition seeking skills there. You know, Well, how long has ImpressArt been around and the tool company that ImpressArt spun out of?
Oh, wow. So the tool company, it's pretty cool. And the best part about it is like everyone's still here almost. So 1952, we're going back to, is when NK Tools started. And that company started selling surplus tools from World War II. So surplus tools from World War II is how it started. And then it was like, okay, let's start selling more tools, like hobby tools. They found a niche in hobby tools. That was really the good angle. And then metal stamps, which, get them right here. You know, I'm sure people have seen them. I mean, you've seen these before too. The stamps, you know, these little letters at the tips. It's like a nail, but instead of a pointy tip, you have a letter at the end. People were buying that before ImpressArt, obviously before stamping Bitcoin seed plates, because it wasn't a thing. People just mark tools, or they had to mark metals with different things. And it was just simply metal marking. That's why those existed. And guess what happened? I wasn't with the company yet, but I think about the 2010s, people started buying metal stamps from NK in a very curious manner. Why are we selling all these metal stamps all of a sudden? This used to be a D-level product. Now it's an A-level product. Then they start, and from what I understand, they started digging into who these people were, and they found that they were women. So why are women buying metal stamps from a surplus World War II hobby website? Because they were making jewelry. So there wasn't a company to go to buy all this stuff. They would go to buy it from different areas. Oh, I could get my metal stamps from NK. Oh, this metal supplier has strips that I could use to make bracelets, right? And I could piece together all these other jewelry making tools. Oh, I could use my regular claw hammer instead of a brass tip metal stamping hammer to make it. So it followed the very similar.
Firefish is non-custodial Bitcoin-backed lending. That means when you borrow against your stack, your keys stay in multi-sig the whole time. You're not handing your Bitcoin to a custodian. You're not trusting a counterparty. You're not waking up to bankruptcy news. It's just collateralized Bitcoin lending the way self-custodians built it. Firefish.io, code matrix. Your seed phrase is the most consequential sentence you'll ever own. And writing it on paper is the weakest place to put it. Stamp Seed is a titanium DIY kit that lets you hammer those words into solid metal. Fire resistant, waterproof, crush proof. 20 years from now, that piece of metal will still be there. Stampseed.com, code matrix, gets you 15% off. Club Orange is the location-based social network built for the Bitcoin community. You open the app, see who's near you, what meetups are happening, which merchants in your city actually accept Bitcoin. If you've ever wanted to meet the people behind the orange-pilled accounts you follow, this app is your map. Download Club Orange today in the App Store or Google Play.
Our trend or trajectory that Stampseed started from, right? You have Stampseed kind of coming out of Impressor, and Impressor kind of coming out of NK. And it's been interesting to kind of, like, I never really thought about it to that point until now. It's, you know, pretty much the same exact story, just with a different group of people and all just, you know, with these pretty cool tools that whoever invented them, I don't think they ever imagined how they'd be being used today. Now we have these three different companies, and Stampseed is becoming a big part of that, which is cool.
If you can recall, how long did it take you to go from seeing the trend or pattern with the word search to recognizing that this might be a separate identity or separate community, separate identity for the company, a separate community of people to really market to that's strong enough? Like,
to tell you the truth, I'd have to put a guess on that. I would say a year or so, but it's hard to understand because, like, it was started off as a side project initially. COVID hit. This became my sort of side project, working from home. But I was also doing everything else on top of that. And all the other things, you know, there are the aspect of the business was really supporting Stampseed. It gave Stampseed the ability to actually, you know, take a chance, to spend some marketing dollars, to take some hits. It's hard to really measure the wins knowing that we had a little bit of that safety net, you know, throughout the entire time. But I would say we truly knew after we had significant sales on Amazon. When we started sending to Amazon FBA, meaning Amazon holds the product and sells it for you to get Prime eligibility, once, like, we were good enough for that, and that scales for you, then it's like you don't have product fast enough. I think to the point where we started emptying out pallets from the back, and then we were like, oh, maybe we should use the ImpressArt stamps. We're like, no, we're going backwards now. Like, that doesn't make sense. We need to make something new. So it just said we ran out of inventory. So it's not really, I don't know the time, we ran out of product, surplus product. Which was great because now we have these really nice kits with really cool tools that are meant for stamping into titanium versus, you know, stuff that might have had a little rust on it or a little bit of life on it or sat on the shelf with some dust for a while. We had great pricing, but it was nice to be able to, you know, put together everything we learned and make a really cool toolkit we're proud of.
Wow. And so you were trading crypto, I guess, before this all happened or sort of in parallel. Yeah. Were you trading anything else before that? Were you interested in sort of stocks, or was trading crypto sort of like a new endeavor of speculation for you?
Oh, so I was part of the group of guys that was like, oh my God, you could get Robinhood on your phone and you could buy stocks. This is great. Like, it was just sort of like learning because everyone else was doing it. Like, my friends and all, lie, this is when the app Robinhood really, like, started coming up in about, you know, I guess like 2017, 2018. That's when it got on my radar. About the time Bitcoin first came on my radar, you hear that it was at 16,000-17,000. It was a huge talking point. You go out to the brewery with your buddies. This is what you discuss. You're like, couldn't wrap my head around the fact that one thing could be worth that much. Didn't know what sats were, right? This was 2017 for me. So this is before the search term combing incident happened, where I started my Bitcoin journey. And, you know, it really came from a place where, hey, I know people that are getting rich off this. Oh, that must be nice for the people that held Bitcoin as long as they did to have this. So I wanted in on it. And it was at a time in my life where I'm saving up for an engagement ring, right, to propose to, you know, who's now my wife at the time, saving for a house, you know, living on Long Island. You know, you're kind of behind the eight ball, right? I grew up here, wanted to stay here. It's not easy. It's extremely expensive. Taxes, you're dealing with the city. It's just a nightmare. But it was home. So, you know, we wanted to make it work. And these were the ways that I thought you could make it work. So it was terrible. I just lost money. You know, you're just holding all these different coins. I didn't even know what they were. My research was, what is Coinbase putting on their front screen and what are other people buying? And I'm going to sell it before anyone else can. It was just complete short time preference mentality, which I think almost everybody might have a little bit of in them, you know, with inflation as bad as it is, right? It's almost like that's instilled in you and you have to break out of it. And it took some pain and some, you know, losses of funds to get to the point where I said, hey, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm taking a break, or I'm just holding onto these bags that are draining because it doesn't make sense to sell them at this point. And then once I went through the search term combing and then down the Bitcoin rabbit hole, starting with the titanium plate, it was the first time I actually researched something beyond like knowing what the company Apple was, you know, just because I used their phone. It was, you know, once you read a few books, you know, about, I would recommend Inventing Bitcoin as one of the better books to read. It really explains under the hood, right? It's that under the hood look at how Bitcoin works. And once you understand that and things like difficulty adjustment, limited supply, just how the entire network works, it becomes easy to get your arms around it. As big as Bitcoin is, it's very easy to understand to a point where you can have a conviction that can't be broken. You know, it's not like Apple where somebody's going to fuck up in the middle of the night and then I can't sell my stock until, you know, 9:30 a.m. the next day and everyone else already sold it before me. Preferred stocks got out and I'm just holding common stock that's going down. With Bitcoin, that's not the case. You could buy it, sell it any time of the day. And I just understood it. I probably read and listened to more content on Bitcoin than probably anything, to tell you the truth. Like, maybe fantasy football was kind of up there, but I stopped that a while ago. But, you know, that was a pretty deep dive research sort of project. But Bitcoin is beyond that. Once you have that conviction and you understand what you're holding, it becomes so much easier. I used to sell on the way down when I was holding things. I used to get, I'm not going to lie, scared. Like, I don't want to lose anything else. This thing's going down forever. You know, you have this fear in your head where things go down, they never come back up. With Bitcoin, that's not the case. Now I'm at the point where, like, we were talking about it before we were recording. I want it to go down. Like, this is good right now. Like, I didn't think where we are right now at 80 was possible when BlackRock and Trump were embracing Bitcoin. I thought we were just going up from there. I thought, like, the next stop was a million. But it's not. And we're in this nice place now where we could stack at the low price of 80K, which I'll still take any day of the week. So, you know, truly, once I read enough, that was it, you know, and it's not changing, right? Not much of it's changing, and it's going to take a lot for Bitcoin to change so I could sleep at night without, you know, worrying. It could drop 40% and I'm just buying more. And there's a lot of us out there like that.
Yeah. I mean, 2019 is not that long ago, $3,500 Bitcoin. You know, in 2017, 10K, 20K was sort of mind bending to, you know, all the spilled over, you know, spilt milk here, the tears over spilt milk at 80K. I mean, but how would you, you know, I mean, a lot of people, you know, you're doing your job, you notice this trend, this uptick or this new pattern that you see. I mean, how are you so open-minded to, you know, you're already trading crypto, like, maybe Bitcoin's just another thing people are speculating on. How are you open-minded to that there's more to it? Like, maybe some people would just be like, oh, here's some weirdos writing, you know, they think they're going to take self-custody of their money. Or that was probably something that was super hard for me to even understand at scale how valuable that is. Even if you talk about, you know, you could have a brain wallet and walk over a border. I mean, when you first start getting into Bitcoin, that's, you know, just doesn't seem like, that's going to be a, I don't know. What do you remember at all? Like, sort of why you were so open to it or maybe primed to it?
Yeah. Well, I think initially, like where I work, if I see an opportunity, I'm on it. Like anytime there's like something, like right now, AI is a big part of the advertisement running, but we're, you know, three different brands. So it's not all just stamps. You do a lot of Facebook advertising too. You know, there's different AI aspects that are there that you just got to get on top of it and on early and, you know, just to look for opportunity. And that's kind of how I naturally am in general. And then my job lent itself to it. But then with Stampseed in particular, it became my baby. Like, this thing was something that I kind of found in the search term. I didn't, you know, discover anything, but I found this in the search terms. I saw a trend. I convinced ownership that this could work. I put a lot on the line, right? Because by doing this, I'm not doing as much of the stuff that's actually making money for the business anymore. I'm taking a chance on something totally different and new. And it was also cooler, right? You could work with crafting stuff or I could work with Bitcoin stuff. So, you know, there was that aspect too, where it's like, no, I'd rather be doing this. I'd rather, you know, be telling people I'm doing this than anything else. So that was like the initial spark, right? This is sort of my baby. And then I would say like that it really took you do a little self-learning here, but the self-learning was really just what is cold storage? What is the steel plate? How does this fit into the Bitcoiner's repertoire? And then I think the convention started when I had to go on my first podcast. We started getting approaches for sponsorships. Well, I actually probably messaged about everyone meaningful in the Bitcoin space in 2020 to see if we could ever work together or something. No one knew who the hell we were. Most people didn't get back to us. And I see some people replying still today, which is kind of funny. You know, I got a list and I just went crazy with the list. Not really the best approach, but hey, I didn't know much about the space at this time and I was trying to work quickly. And someone got back to me eventually. It was the first podcast I ever went on. And you know, I could go on the podcast and talk about Stampseed, but I want to do a little more research about Bitcoin for that. So that got me a little bit more involved. I hated how I did on that podcast, right? Like it was the first, it wasn't the greatest. I probably said some things that didn't really make so much sense. So you want to basically learn a little bit more from that. And then from there, you just start to discover who everyone is in the space. What are the books that you must read? I don't know. I was never really a reader either, which is kind of amazing. I hated, you know, my whole life reading comprehension was a thing. I would never read any assigned books. I would skim things. I would just write fake reports. I would read like the first and last sentence of a chapter. But with Bitcoin, I just couldn't read enough and fast enough. And I don't know, after you get a few books in and you listen to a few podcasts, it kind of became a hobby, really. I didn't have much Bitcoin at the time. It was anything crazy. Like I wasn't like retiring anytime soon off of it. But when that becomes all that you consume, and then it also kind of aligns with this red pill sort of mentality I had since in my teenage years, I don't want to say conspiracy theories because we've been right on a lot of them, but sort of like this alt culture I've been part of. That's what the Bitcoin is worth. And then you start meeting people that are kind of aligned with that. And you're like, wow, we're all sort of on the same page, right? You meet a Bitcoiner, you don't even have to really talk to them that much. And you have those kind of common things in mind. And, you know, that really sets the tone for the conversation and just kind of like, you know, where both your heads at. It really is an interesting way that it came to be, to tell you the truth. But I would say the biggest thing is, you know, stacks of books. That did it. You know, you spend your time in there enough and, you know, then you start hearing people in your life say, oh, Bitcoin's a scam. It's like, oh, where'd you hear that? Oh, well, you know, I saw it on an article. And did you read the article? No, I didn't read the article. It's okay. So before I read all the stuff and knew all the stuff, I would have heard these people saying this and be like, oh yeah, that's right. It's a scam. And that's what everyone does. That's all scam. They're all parrots, right? They're going to repeat everything they see, whether it's a headline or, you know, something they heard in passing, just because that's something to talk about around the water cooler besides the weather. And then when you start seeing people who you thought were smart say these things that didn't put the work in, you're just like, oh, okay. Everyone else is sort of brainwashed under this spell. Hold strong, buy when it's low, don't sell. It's a lot easier than it should be, but the work comes from the studying and staying up on it. Or having conviction and faith in people that you think are really smart and hoping that they like Bitcoin.
Yeah. Well, you're pouring all this work into, you know, learning about Bitcoin and you're running Stampseed. And there are a lot of ways to make a metal seed plate. And it's got to be reliable. You could use steel, stainless, aluminum, copper, titanium. Walk me through the engineering decision. Why titanium specifically? What's the bear case against the alternatives?
So I'll preface this by saying metal is always going to be better in general, right? You buy your hardware wallet, great. Comes with a piece of paper to write your seed words down on, not so great. How many people might leave them on that piece of paper? And God forbid they're using sort of a gel ink pen or the paper has sort of a coating on it, right? You're going to, you know, ink fades over time as well. It's just not a great way to store it. So anything metal is really good. Why titanium? I guess it's got a few key factors, but the biggest one is it just doesn't rust. It literally will not rust ever. It's naturally oxidizes. It's in an oxidative state, which is almost like there's an invisible layer of oxygen surrounding it at all times that prevents it from rusting, which is key. You know, if this is stored in a damp environment or, you know, if you want to put it in salt water or bury it somewhere, we put a seed plate on a fishing line and put it in water for a year. No rust, nothing happened. We just wanted a superior metal. Steel is still good. That's going to hold up very well for you, but it does have that tendency to rust and it's a little bit harder to stamp. The titanium feels a little bit easier when stamping. And then it's just a little bit lighter, which that doesn't really play a role so much. And the biggest one is just cooler. Titanium's cooler. you know, people like it better, right? It's going on spaceships and airplanes. It's just a cooler metal. So why not use that? It's not much of a price difference. So the cost of our product's really in the tools. You know, these are legit metal stamping tools that were made for one purpose and one purpose only, to stamp into that titanium deeply and to make it super easy. So the metal's really cheap. So why not go with a cooler one that has a higher melting point and also will never rust? And that's titanium.
Right. Yeah, I can see that. And so stamp seed kits are stamped by hand by the user in their own home. There's no factory like pre-engraved engraving, no shipped with data on it model. From your end at Stamp Seed, walk me through what's actually in the box, why each piece is there, and what's not in the box.
All right. I do have a box. You want to just...
Sure.
Yeah, we'll just show it out. So, you know what? Let's do this first. So the main components of the box, of course, you get the titanium seed plate. And I don't know if how well the focus is, but this one's already stamped with letters. So
yeah, I can see stamp seed.
Yeah, so you get this blank plate that you have to do yourself. And like a lot of people think that we do it for them. When we go, every time we go to a conference, people are like, okay, so I give you my words. Like, how does this work? And then you get some people that sort of test us and like they're trying to make sure that we're not DIYing it. But it, without fail, someone always thinks that we're doing it for them as a service. So you also have this stamping aid, which holds the plate in place. You slide the plate in the stamping aid, or the stamping guide rather. And it has all these little lines on it that, you know, there's a max of 8 letters per seed words in BIP39. So there's 8 dashes per cell. And those dashes are sort of your shooting points for where you line up your little metal stamps like I was showing you before. So you get like these, you know, the alphabet basically on the tip of a metal shank. You get the hammer and you just hit it. That's it. Hit it into the metal while it's lined up in this jig. Just like that, you know. Might be hard the way I'm showing it, but if you go on, you know, the website on the homepage, it shows it, you know, perfectly up there. What else? Compatible, you know, these are the 24 word plates, but we recently had the 12 words because a lot of people obviously have 12 and they don't want the extra space or the bigger plate. And like I was saying before, like our tools are expensive, so why make you buy them again? That's why the stamping aid works with both the 12 and 24. You put this little spacer adapter in, and then you have room for anything we come out with, really. Like, once you buy this tool set, that's it. It's like, you just get your plates, whatever else you need from there. This is kind of like, yeah, the new 2.0 version of the kit. It's just, you know, nicely boxed. Everything's in here, easy to grab, easy to take out. It's funny to look at this and, you know, look at how our kits looked like when they were on Amazon. You come a long way. So everything's just in here. And if, you know, a lot of people buy extra plates, so if someone gets 5 plates, 10 plates, we just load them all in this box and send it. So it's just nice and easy and ready to go for you. This is like the deluxe version. There's a lot of people out there who may have a hammer ready and want to save some sats. So we have a basic version of the kit too that discludes the hammer, and it also doesn't come with the extra metal anvil that goes under the stamp guide. That's our basic kit. So we have both options available for those looking to save some sats who might already have a modest setup. But you know, those, the metal head hammers, they're not as great as the brass head hammers. You know, brass tip, softer than steel. So when you're hitting steel, it's not going to bounce off. It's going to drive things down and get a deeper result. So that's why this thing is like the workhorse beast. It's like the hero of the kit. 2-pound weighted head, short handle. If people pick this thing up, like we were just in Vegas at the conference, Bitcoin conference, and like everyone's like, wow, this is like a legit hammer. You get this with it? You're like, yeah, you like, we can't do it for you. You're not sending the hammer back. You get it. And like, I'm not even kidding. Like everyone did good at it. Like we set up a demo, you know, kit so people just stamp a letter or two just to get a feel for it. A lot of people say, oh, I saw you on so-and-so's podcast. It's like, great. Now you could come here and hold the tools and, you know, get a feel for it and then maybe buy a kit if you like it. Everyone does fine. Like there's never mess ups. No one hits their fingers. It's just set up so it works super easy. You have like a...
Stamp Seed is the most analog object in your Bitcoin stack. No batteries, no firmware, no third-party trust. Just a titanium DIY kit that lets you hammer your seed words into solid metal. Fire resistant, waterproof, crush proof. The simplest, dumbest, most reliable backup for the most important sense you'll ever own. Stampseed.com, code MATRIX for 15% off. Bitcoin gets kind of lonely when you only know people through a screen. Club Orange is the location-based social network that fixes that. Find the orange-pilled people in your city. The meetups, the merchants, the conversations that don't fit on a tweet. Download Club Orange today in the App Store or Google Play. If you've ever needed liquidity but didn't want to sell your Bitcoin and trigger a taxable event, Firefish is the answer. Non-custodial Bitcoin-backed loans. Your keys stay in multi-sig the whole time. You access dollars without selling a single sat. Don't sell your Bitcoin. Live off it. Firefish.io, code MATRIX.
For instance, like a hammer with a short handle versus a hammer with a handle this long, right? Like a standard claw hammer, is going to have a big difference. Because if you're working with a longer hammer, you're going to be further back from the point of contact. You might miss. You might swing too hard. When you have a short, stubby hammer with, you know, weighted head, you kind of just like flick it and drop it on. So it makes it super easy. And a lot of people, like I was saying before, oh, I've never swung a hammer before, this, that. Those people are doing fine. We have kids come by the booth and do it. You have a lot of kids go with their parents to the Bitcoin conference, and they're all going to the booth to look for giveaways and freebies and t-shirts and hats and things like that. And then they see this and they just want to try stamping it. So sure, let the kid do it. So we have some photos of kids at conferences stamping it, which I show those to people anytime they're like, oh, I don't know, this looks hard. Like, yeah, it's not. The kid could do it.
Yeah, I think getting the husbands, wives, and the kids involved is a great way to sort of teach about Bitcoin and self-custody. You know, we kind of talked about why paper is so dangerous. It was kind of interesting. We talked about the coding of the paper, but also the kind of ink, you know, or pen you use. Have you heard real world failure modes from customers? Like what's happened, or, you know, what's happened to certain, do they talk to you at conferences or in emails or DMs about their horror stories?
Not so much the horror stories. You know, I haven't got too many of those. I think people might be almost too embarrassed to talk about them. What I get a lot of the people is like, oh, I need to do this. The amount of people that see us at a conference, because online, you don't really talk to people too much. It's kind of just asking questions or, hey, can I get a coupon code? At the conference, everyone's just like, oh, I still need to do this. Or, oh, I still have to get the kit. I have the kit, but I haven't done it yet. Oh, I have to get a new wallet first. It's just procrastination is the biggest thing. And that's the biggest risk, because that's the biggest segment of people, right? Oh, I have to get it off the exchange still, right? That's the biggest group of people there is. So, you know, they're kind of waiting in queue for a potential issue because they don't have things set up properly. So not so much horror stories, more potential horror stories, I would say, than anything, and from a massive segment. And then you have the cool stories, which are the people who kind of tell you not exactly where they hide it, but kind of how they hide it. And, you know, some of the crazy things they've done or their crazy multi-sig setup, which, you know, you don't want to like really share too much of that, but you have some very creative and interesting ways to hide these things that blow my mind still to this day. You know, then of course you get to the inheritance issue. It's like, hey, dude, is anyone going to be able to find this thing after you go? Right. So you have to have things planned properly, but, there's some pretty cool ways out there. I'll give you one really cool sort of way to hide a plate that someone told me that I don't think anyone's going to find this one. But you essentially take like a stamped plate ready to go. You would cover, well, this one's damaged. You would cover this in resin, or at least he covered it in some sort of resin epoxy, and then painted it to make it look like a rock, right? So he has a C plate that looks like a rock. And then he has a giant pond, like a man-made pond in his backyard, threw it in the pond. So then that's just a rock in the pond. No one's going in there to find that thing. And it might pass metal detection too, if the epoxy's thick enough. So that's like the level of hiding that you have, because, right, you're holding in self-custody. It's literally yours, completely yours at this point. You can't call up Coinbase or, you know, your wallet and say, hey, I need my password to get back in. Can you send me authentication code through my email or a security code and I'll confirm it. I'll send you my ID. I'll do anything. Just give it back. Can't do that here. So that's why, you know, we go through these crazy lengths to hide it. But, you know, when I hear stories like that, it's just like, do multi-sig. Just go with multi-sig, right? Like, make your life easier. you don't have to hide these things as crazy as you think. If you have a good multi-sig in place, God forbid one of those plates gets lost, stolen, destroyed, you just recreate your wallet all over again. You don't take the chance versus sole single sig, which is not great, right? You know, there's a place for single sig, but is your entire stack? That's definitely not a great idea.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a natural evolution to the Bitcoiner, and it sort of revolves or it's tethered to counterparty risk. So you start stacking maybe on an exchange, and maybe you stack enough or it grows enough in purchasing power that you want to get them off the exchange. You start recognizing the value and start thinking about now it's maybe worth investing a little bit of money to take it off the exchange and learn how to self-custody. And then you start to self-custody. Maybe you have a single sig, but now you start to realize you're the counterparty risk to yourself and to your loved ones. And you start to figure out how to, you know, eliminate single points of failure within your own system. Maybe you move to the single sig with a hardware wallet and a metal plate, and then you move into maybe multi-sig with maybe a metal plate on one of them. But, you know, you sort of evolve into, you know, learning how to hold this thing on your own in self-custody. How can people mess up with a metal plate? Are there risks with metal they need to understand to use it right?
I guess like you could mess up by stamping the wrong letter, right, as an option, or stamping the wrong word. Things like that, you know, mistakes are going to happen, right? And they're, you know, there's no eraser. And that's why, like, sort of we built the kit to try to prevent as much of that as possible, but it still could happen. So, like, one way we prevent it is, like, with these stamps, like, you know, there's one side that shows you a letter, and that's the side that you need to have facing you to make sure it's oriented properly. If you didn't have a marking on the side, you wouldn't know which way to hold it because things are mirrored, and you might hold something the wrong way or upside down. If you think about the letter M, it could look like a W just because you grabbed it the wrong way. So mess ups are highly possible. So we write stuff on the side so you know not to do that. And the instructions are very detailed. I know a lot of people probably don't read them, but they're there. the hammer makes it easier and things like that. But people mess up. What happens if you do mess up? It's really not a big deal. You have plenty of room on the cell here to continue adding more letters. So if you stamp the wrong letter, okay, not a problem. You could even put an X through that letter and continue stamping the word. Or you could just use these sidelines on the plate, which you turn the plate 90 degrees, pop it in the stamping guide, and you have sidelines. So you could just write, word 17 was actually this. So you could have your corrected word right on the side of the plate. But, you know, I would say 7 times out of 10, your seed word is probably going to be like 4 to 5 letters or less than 5 letters. And you're going to have like 3 extra spots at the very least to continue your word. If that's not the case and you have like a 6, 7, 8 letter seed word, you could just use those sidelines perfectly fine. Or if you have immense inescapable OCD, like I have myself, you just get another plate and you restamp it and you hope you don't mess it up there. They're like $28 or something like that. So it's not that bad. You know, it's just the tools that are bad, but I'm not buying them again. I have them already. Just get another plate.
Right. I love that, you know, it's so analog in today's digital world, stamps. There's no batteries, there's no firmware, no third-party trust. Can you maybe just talk about that as a design principle?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is like you're getting all these items and you're keeping them for life. You're not sending the tools back. You're not like imprinting this online. You're not uploading your file and getting back something. You literally have to do this yourself to do it right. There's no way around that. Right? You go through the trouble of taking your Bitcoin off of the exchange, right? Onto a hardware wallet that you spent, you know, nowadays, maybe $200 plus on. You know, they're getting bigger, better. They have screens and keypads. And I would highly take advantage of the ones with the full keypads too, because you're going to need them. You don't want like 2 little buttons. Like it's very annoying. So, you know, you go through all that trouble. You have your hardware wallet, and then you're going to get to your seed plate portion. You can't outsource that, right? You have to completely do that yourself, just like you set up your hardware wallet yourself, more than likely. Can you have someone else set up your wallet for you? Sure. But they're probably not going to look at your seed words. You're going to do the seed word part, right? They're going to tell you to write these down or, you know, confirm these words and then give me back the wallet. I'll finish helping you with setup or, you know, don't show me the whole thing. But the seed word portion, if anyone else sees these, you're at risk, right? You know, you trust someone so much. Oh, you know, my best friend, I trust him. You know, we went halves on Bitcoin and, you know, he's not going to steal it from me or anything like that. Every night you sleep, you're going to be thinking of that. And then eventually you're going to be like, you know, this isn't great. Someone else saw my seed words. You know, this isn't good. You know, you don't want anyone else knowing what these are. So being that these are also heavy tools, it also makes sense just for you to own them, right? Send it to you. You do it yourself. And that's it. You know, you're set up. You're good to go. And it's, you know, it's very analog, right? It's very low tech in a high tech sort of space like Bitcoin, but it has to be. It's simple is better. At the simplest form, you're memorizing these, right? So that's extremely, you know, close to you, but that's very risky just to memorize them. So better get them into a titanium size post-it instead. So,
yeah, I mean, I really can't sort of voice this enough. I think now is the time to get all your sort of set up in order. When things are a little bit calmer, it's not as frenzied. There's no mania. You don't want to kind of be like looking at your setup and eliminating single points of failure. You know, when price is a lot higher and you're a lot more nervous, and to even just touch things, and all your relatives are like, "You sure you're okay over there? You got everything all set?" So this is a golden opportunity, not just to stack, but to secure what you do have. I'll go back to a show I did with CK many moons ago. No one is bullish enough on Bitcoin. If you think you need more Bitcoin, if you don't have enough, you're kind of not bullish enough on the future value of Bitcoin. And I would encourage people to kind of think about getting the sats they have now and the family they have now to like 2030, 2035. Because I think a lot of people are through leverage, through security concerns, are going to end up with less Bitcoin than they have now, maybe in the future. So I'll leave it to you for any sort of parting words. Where can people find you? Find Stampseed and secure their seed phrase.
Yeah, check us out, stampseed.com. We're actually under a website redesign now. Not going to affect your experience on the site, but we're going to be... It's going to be a nice site probably in a month or so with a lot more content on there, a lot more information to kind of research and understand more for the people who are just getting into cold storage, right? Want to learn a little bit more. It's going to be better, you know, experience all around there. So stampseed.com, find us on the X at stamp_seed. And then if you want to reach out or follow me, say hello, hammerseed21 on X. And we're going to be at Bitcoin Prague coming up. So if anyone listening, if this is going to be out before then, which it should be, it's about a month from today, Bitcoin Prague. We'll be there. We've gone to everyone since the first, and I highly suggest checking out that one. It's one of my favorites. It's like a meetup almost. We had Adam Back come to our booth. I was talking to him for like 15 minutes. He was like doing his own demo just like everyone else did. He just wanted to learn about the product. So, you know, it's just, I don't work for the conference. I feel like I'm pitching him now. But yeah, check us out. Use your coupon codes. I'm sure you got a good one lined up, Cedric, 50% off. You know, get your deal and get your seed plates into metal now. Don't, like Cedric was saying, right, don't procrastinate. I was just at, you know, the conference, like I was saying before, in Vegas, and every other one, the amount of people that just know what the product is but haven't done it yet, right? It's a huge segment of people. You know, just don't be part of that. You know, set aside the time to get your stuff off the exchange onto a trusted hardware wallet that's preferably like air-gapped and Bitcoin only. Checks all the boxes and just get your seed words into metal. You know, hopefully it's Stampseed. If it's not, and you're going to choose another metal, I would highly suggest one that is a single solid piece. I don't like anything with multiple pieces for a lot of different reasons. And the simplest way to say it is just more pieces, more problems. Hardware could be a different material that's holding it together. When things bend or heat gets applied, things expand and things start to fall out and become weaker. It also gives water a place to hide, dirt a place to hide, corrosion, things seizing up, becoming harder to open. Whereas with a plate like this, you could just literally bury it underground. So don't wait and just get it on a metal plate.
Yeah, I agree. Well, you're so lucky you guys go to Bitcoin Prague. That's my dream conference. Maybe you could put in a good word for me. Maybe I'll get to see you there next year. I'll be at Camp Nakamoto this year in New Hampshire at Lake Winnipesaukee. This has been so dope. Hopefully I'll be on Long Island soon. We can meet up in person and do another show together.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you so much, James. You're doing
Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's been great. Thanks, Cedric. You too.
Hey. And that's a wrap on this one. If this conversation added value share it with one person who needs to hear it. That is how the Bitcoin Matrix, where critical thinkers meet, grows. Huge thanks to our sponsors, Stampseed, Firefish, Club Orange, and Camp Nakamoto. These are companies and products I personally use and believe in. Please support them so they can keep supporting the show. Links and codes for all of them are in the show notes. Not on Fountain yet? $5 a month gets you every episode a full day early, completely ad-free, or $1 per episode after early access. Follow me on X. I'm at Sed Youngelman. The show is at _BitcoinMatrix. We're in the conversation every single day. The Matrix is real. Keep on stacking. Keep your head on a swivel. Spend your time well. And thank you for listening.